Good morning, and welcome to the worship services of Grace United Methodist Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. We're glad you're here. We welcome all of you who are joining us for our in-person worship this morning, and those who are joining us online. Again, we are broadcasting from the sanctuary of Grace United Methodist Church here on Harbison Boulevard in Columbia, South Carolina, and we welcome all who have joined us for worship. We, as we attempt to remain connected as congregation members in United Methodist, we are sending out an email every day during the week, Monday through Friday. Each day has a different emphasis, but each one of those is full of information that you might want to go ahead and put on your refrigerator, print out or something, so you can make sure that you know what's going on in the church as we strive to remain connected in these difficult days. If you're not receiving those emails, you want to call the church office, or the church email address is on the website, or you can just call the pastor. We'll make sure that we get on those email. You get on those email lists so you can receive those emails. Also, the pastor is in the emails at 3 o'clock. There's a devotion every Sunday, every day on YouTube, and we invite you to join the pastor in his devotion at 3 o'clock every day. Again, in an attempt to remain connected, we have fellowships that we are offering to the congregation every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and every Wednesday evening at 6:30. You can find the instructions for how to join this fellowship in your bulletin and online. Again, we invite you to join and catch up with your fellow church members. If you just get a chance to see faces, we use the Zoom product so you can actually see the faces of the people we're talking to and give you a chance to just sort of catch up with everybody that's sort of been distant from us as we've gone through these trying times. The flowers this morning are given in honor of Don and Gloria Bowden's son, Billy, and to the glory of God. We celebrate with all of you who are celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week. For birthdays, we have Kathy, Silas, Day-Day, Libby, Bryson, Alex, and Mr. Ray, and special anniversary congratulations go out to Billy and Wade, David and Julie, and Michael and Kathy. Again, we wish you were here so we could wish you happy anniversary and happy birthday in person, but know that we're singing with you in our hearts and we fellowship with you. And now there are no other announcements to come before the church. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us prepare our hearts, our minds, and our spirits for worship.
Well, good morning, and once again, glad to see everybody in worship today, and glad that all of you worshiping at home are worshiping with us. I want to encourage all those worshiping online at home to sing, stand, and respond out loud as we move through our worship together, and to invite those who are worshiping here in person to meditate and respond in your hearts at the points in the service where we might have normally all been out loud together. And so as we enter into worship, let us go to God in prayer. God, from whose love we cannot be separated, search our hearts, help us in our weakness. Teach us to pray and intercede for us through the power of your Holy Spirit when our words fail. Reveal your convicting grace to us and justify us so that we might be more fully assured of our place in your life and mission. Convince us that you will not allow anything in all creation to remove us from your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We worship together through the singing and hearing of immortal, invisible, God only wise.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains, thy soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. To all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but not changeth thee. Thou reignest in glory, thou dwellest in light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All Lord we would render, oh help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of thy identity.
Amen. I want to say a special word of good morning to the children worshiping with us today. We're glad to have you in worship today and worshiping with us. This morning I want to share a little bit of a story. Let's see if I can make this stay up here so it'll stay and I'll have to hold a hand. That'll be okay. So I've got a box here, and this box, I used it when I moved into my office a little over a year ago, and I took everything out of it. But then when I finished taking everything out of all the boxes when I was moving in, I put some stuff back in it because I didn't know what to do with that stuff yet. And so it's kind of become a junk box of office stuff that I just wasn't quite sure where it would go or what would be ready for it. And I haven't come back to it many times, but I decided to come back to it today to share a little bit with y'all. Because in this box is a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff in this box. Some of it is new, relatively new stuff that's kind of important to me, like this compass. This compass came from a group that I worked with, a ministry group, and the compass was a thank you. It was a symbol of a part of a ministry that I was a part of, was a compass, and so they gave me a compass. So that's kind of a new one that's in there. And then there's bookmarks that people have given me and toys. I've already talked about the fact that I like toys. This is a fun one. For a different time, this is a nose whistle. I'll let y'all think on that. And there's instructions to different games and all sorts of stuff. And so there's some new stuff in here, but then there's some old stuff in here. So this came out of my granddad's barn. And there's an old fishing rig that you'd use for catfish that he had sitting in his barn that I decided to take. This came from one of my granddad's as well, and it's a horn that's really kind of fun. And so there's a bunch of stuff in here. There's old stuff, there's new stuff, stuff that I like to look back through, pictures that are important and that represent places and people that I was with and different times and events in my life. And so there's all sorts of good stuff in here, old stuff and new stuff, stuff that I can take out and remember. I can take out and remember the stories and know kind of how it's all connected. And you may see some of this stuff again because I like using some of it for children's sermons and illustrations. And so we may see some of it again, but in our scripture passage today, Jesus talks about how when we learn about the gospel and we learn about scripture and we learn about the parables that Jesus teaches us, we become scribes. We become really good teachers of the story of the gospel. And what that means is that Jesus tells us we're kind of like somebody who has a treasure chest, a box full of treasures that are old and new that they can bring out to show people to tell the story. So this is my box of old and new stuff, and I don't know how good I am yet at being a scribe of the story, but Jesus tells us that learning scripture helps us to have a grasp on the old stuff of the faith, the things in scripture, the things in our tradition, the things that make us who we are as followers of Jesus. And it also helps us to know how to tell people about the new, the ways that God is working in our life, the new things that God is doing in our church, the new things that God is doing in the world, so that we can tell both parts of the story. We can tell the old, and the new. We can bring out the old stuff when we need to use the old stuff to remember, and we can bring out the new stuff when we need to look forward and start moving towards what God would have us to do next. We can do that in our lives and we can do that in the church, but we get to learn scripture so that we can bring out the old stuff and the new stuff to tell everybody we know about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this week, look around and see if you've got some old stuff that reminds you of fun times, of good times, of maybe times at church. Maybe you've got some stuff from old vacation Bible schools or old Sunday school lessons, and you can look back at it. And then as you're looking at that old stuff, you can look and think about, well, what kind of new stuff can we do now? What kind of new stuff would this stuff help us to do in the future for God? How can I tell somebody this new old story of Jesus Christ? Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, we thank you that you equip us with the old stuff, with the scripture and the tradition of the church, with the old, old story that tells the good news of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for giving us a new story with you, for helping us to use our minds and our hearts, our lives, to go out into the world to experience your grace and to help others to know it as well. Help us to be scribes for the kingdom, to be storytellers of your gospel this day and every day. Amen. This morning, as we prepare our hearts to go to God in prayer, just want to remind you that if you have prayer concerns that you would like to share with the church, either in worship or through our prayer concerns list in the bulletin, please email me at pastor@gracecolumbia.org. That way those can be included. Know that on each Thursday of the week, there is a prayer email sent out. If you haven't been receiving our emails and you'd like to be added to that list, you can email me and I'll be happy to add you to our list. You can also email Bill in the office at office@gracecolumbia.org and he'll add you to the email list as well. The prayer email includes the prayers that we pray on Sunday morning, as well as the list of folks who've asked to be added to our spoken prayer list, and links to our prayer list in our bulletin online, so that you can look over and pray over the names that have been lifted, that you can reflect on and pray the prayers that we've prayed together in worship. And so I'd lift that to you as a great resource to help help in your own prayer life and to help keep us connected. And so I hope you'll take advantage of that. And now let us pray. God of abundant growth and surprising grace, your kingdom is sprouting up even now in unexpected places and ways, providing strength, peace, rest, and sustenance to us. Your grace is being worked into the world more and more each day, creating the abundant and just world you desire for your creation. Help us to participate with you in mission and ministry by loving and caring for our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and for the world. And so today we pray for all those who cannot leave their homes and apartments, especially for Ernestine, Violet, Ed, Peter, Flora, June, Marion, Jeanette, and all who are highly vulnerable to the COVID-19 disease. For all those suffering from other ailments for whom treatment is now more difficult and dangerous. For the family and friends of Christine on her death, she was a friend of Miss Mary Mason. For the family and friends of Officer Robert Hall, who passed away due to COVID complications, Officer Hall was a friend of Michael Baker. For the friends and family of Reddick at his passing as they wait to hold a service for him at a later date. For the friends and family of Sue as her memorial service was last week. Both of these were friends of Miss Donna Houston. For the Abstinence family and the death of Mitzi's uncle. For the Baines family, especially Rada, and who is a friend of Darlene Simpson, and the death of Rada's husband. For all those who are grieving, for Miss Jackie Daniel, Miss Betty Arant, for Kathy Murphy and her family, for Joan, Betsy Smoke's mother, and for all their family, for Mikey, Kristen, and Andrew, for the Abstances, for Bernard Presley, and for Felicia and their family in Bernard's recovery from surgery this past Monday. For Bernard Presley's father and mother, for Luther, Bill Cranford's father, for Rita Pardue, for Janice Seeley, for Ronald, Tom Helmke's brother who is currently hospitalized in Florida, for Ethan, a friend of Angus Smoke, for Brian, Maxine Drake's nephew, as the source of his pain earlier this week was bone spurs on his spine, for Iris, a member at Bluff Road and a friend of Sandra Love who's having kidney transplant surgery this week. For Maddie, Sandra's sister, that she would experience relief from her severe headaches. For Cindy, a friend of Mary Mason. For Renee, a friend of Betty Arant. For all healthcare workers, our veterans and VA staff. For the members of Grace and their families. For all those on our prayer concerns list. For those prayers that go unspoken on our hearts this day. And for our nation and the systemic racism and culture of white supremacy to be eradicated from our shared life together. Reveal your kingdom to us, O God. Help us to see the places where it is breaking in and to know how precious it is. Give us the courage to sacrifice everything we have and to give our very selves to the mission and ministry you are doing. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, the fisherman, casting the net of the kingdom of God into the world. And we continue to pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We worship through singing, Seek Ye First.
The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given.
Thank you. Please stand for the scripture lesson.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13, verses 31 through 33, and continuing with verses 44 through 52. Hear these words of God. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Amen.
So in the movie Shrek, have you ever seen Shrek before? It's one of my favorites. In the movie Shrek, Shrek is trying to explain to Donkey, I'm not going to say Donkey how Mike Myers says it in the movie, but you know, I'm not going to try the accent. I'll spare y'all. But he's trying to explain to Donkey what makes an ogre. He's trying to tell him, this is what an ogre is. And he decides to go with a simile. They're walking through a field and he picks up an onion and he settles on this simile that ogres are like onions, he says to Donkey. And he does so, he explains later, because of their layers. And he says ogres are like onions because onions have layers and ogres have layers. There's layers of who we are, who he is as an ogre, and not just what's on the surface. But Donkey takes him to mean at first that ogres are like onions because onions are stinky. They make people cry, and if you eat an onion, nobody will want to be around you. And so that's why ogres are like onions. And so, while funny, it's a funny show, it's kind of a brilliant way to demonstrate the layers of meaning that can be present in any metaphor or simile or other kind of literary device that we might come up with or think of or know about. There's all these layers that can be there, and it you know, turns out that the parables of Jesus fall into this category of a literary device that has multi-layered meanings. Not exactly like onions or ogres, but hopefully you get the point. The parables are sometimes metaphors or similes. Sometimes they're complicated and intricate. Sometimes they are pithy and seemingly straightforward. The parables are all of those things. And they're layered. We can go back to parables over and over again and uncover new things in them. We can find new layers of meaning that seemingly come out of nowhere sometimes and just hit us across the head when we need it. But always the parables tell us what the kingdom of God is like. That's what the parables do. And in fact, they often begin with that very phrase, the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, if we're in Matthew's gospel, because he doesn't say the kingdom of God. He doesn't actually write out God in his gospel because he's got a largely Jewish audience, and so he refrains from doing that, and instead we get the kingdom of heaven in Matthew's gospel. So we hear either the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is like, over and over again, as Jesus launches into another parable, as he tells another parable about the kingdom. And this week we hear five more parables. We just heard Sam read us five more parables in quick succession. They're quick little one-liner parables. And for the last 2 weeks, we've been presented with one parable at a time, longer parables, parables that took a little more time and attention, parables that had to have an explanation afterwards to at least the small group of close disciples so that they could understand more fully what Jesus was talking about. And these parables today fit in with and immediately after the parables that we've looked at for the last 2 weeks. So we get this stream where if we were to read straight through, we'd be reading some of the parables, and then there'd be some parables kind of plugged in, and then the explanation from Jesus, and then the end of it. And instead, we've kind of broken it up so that the explanations of the parables go together, and then we get this one at the end, which kind of sums up this teaching section that Matthew is presenting about Jesus's teaching the gospel. And the way Matthew utilizes these parables that we've read today, they function almost like a counterbalance to the previous ones that we've read. They almost are a counterpoint built in, not a counterpoint necessarily though, but they almost make you feel a little different than the other ones do, because whereas we were invited in the last couple of weeks to consider our place in the kingdom as good soil or as good seed, to think about what it meant for us to be good soil, to have the gospel planted in us, to bear fruit out into the world 160 or 30-fold, or where we were encouraged to consider, are we good seed? Are we seed for wheat, or are we seed for darnel last week? Whereas we were considering those things last time, these parables describe the nature of the kingdom more generally. We're not necessarily as easily located in there at all. Jesus is instead telling us what the kingdom is like more broadly. First, Matthew relays how Jesus describes the kingdom as the undesirable mustard seed. I didn't realize that the mustard seed was an undesirable seed to plant. It wasn't something anybody would have planted on purpose, normally. Yet that's what we hear at the beginning of this parable. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like someone went and planted a mustard seed, the smallest of the seeds, but that grows up into the largest of shrubs. But that mustard seed normally would have tried to avoid it, because once it gets planted, then it doesn't have any problem reproducing, and all of a sudden you got mustard all over the place, and there's not a whole lot you could do with that mustard there, and as opposed to planting wheat or another crop that was better if you were a farmer in that day. So we hear the kingdom is like this undesirable mustard seed, or that it's like yeast, which must be precisely mixed into the flour if it isn't to spoil the whole batch of bread. If there was too little yeast, it wouldn't do its job. And if there's too much, then the whole batch could just go bad. And we also hear that this yeast is going in a very large quantity of bread. It's a precise amount, but this three measures of flour was like enough bread for a wedding feast that this woman is preparing. And so we've got these two images where we have the undesirable mustard seed and the yeast, which is this agent in the ancient world, which they weren't quite sure what to do with it. In fact, at Passover, right, they would have excluded it altogether. They had to have the unleavened bread. It wasn't an exactly clean item, something that they thought about being something that was particularly good, but it was a fact of life that you needed it. And then we hear where Jesus continues and he relays that the kingdom is profoundly precious. He goes on and he tells these stories. He says the kingdom is this profoundly precious thing which requires the all-in sacrifice of the merchant and the treasure hunter. Which is kind of a nice way to put it for somebody who finds treasure in somebody else's field, covers it back up, doesn't tell the owner of the field that they found the treasure in their field, but instead goes and sells everything they have, buys the field at the price of a field, and then goes and unearths the treasure. It's kind of a nice way to call that person just a treasure hunter, probably, and not something, you know, a little more sleazy. And the merchant is the same way. The merchants in this day and age weren't necessarily seen all that high either. They're more kind of like how we consider the sleazy used car salesman. They had more of that connotation to them. So even the pearl merchant who sells everything else he has to buy this one precious pearl, neither of these people are exactly high on the social hierarchy of the day. But Jesus says the kingdom is profoundly precious, and it's as if this merchant or this treasure hunter sells everything they have in order to get this precious thing. And so these four parables that Jesus just kind of ticks off, he kind of just progresses through them so quickly. These four parables stand in kind of stark contrast to the admonitions to be good soil and good seed, as they now show the kingdom of heaven to be completely unexpected. Before it was kind of, you know, the kingdom is like being good soil. It's like being good seed. Well, yeah, we can get on board with that. We want to try and be good. We want to try and bear fruit. We want to try and be wheat. We want to try and do what we need to do. But now we hear a different kind of parable, a different kind of story. We hear that the kingdom is coming in completely unexpected and ways and places and through unexpected people. It's like a mustard seed, an undesirable plant you wouldn't normally plant, but it's planted on purpose. It's like yeast worked into flour that causes bread to rise, but it can also spoil it. It's like a treasure hunter finding treasure in a field and selling everything he has to buy the field. It's like a merchant selling all that he has to buy the one perfect pearl. This is what the kingdom is like. And then finally, Matthew tells us that Jesus concludes with one last parable describing the divine judgment inherent in the final coming of God's kingdom, in the separation of the good and bad fish in a massive catch. Much like the wheat and the weeds being separated at the end, Jesus concludes with this parable of the fish being caught in such a large quantity in the net and all pulled ashore and the good and bad separated at the kingdom's coming. But why do we need to know all these parables about the kingdom of heaven? Jesus tells us them, we study them, we look at them, we consider them, we try to learn something new about them, and we try to put them in place in our life and in the world. But why do we need to know them about the kingdom? But why do we need to study them and peel back the layers of meaning to find an interpretation for us today, and then come back to them and find another interpretation for us in the future? Why do we need to keep coming back to these parables? Why do we need to keep using these parables? Why can't we just have Jesus tell us exactly what to do to be a part of the kingdom of God without the parable part? Why can't we just have Jesus tell us exactly what we need to do to be a part of the kingdom of heaven, and then we'll just wait to be sorted out as good or bad fish? We'll just figure it out, and we'll just do that one thing forever and never have to come back to it to change to find out if God has anything new to say to us. Instead, we'll just do that one thing, and then we'll just wait to be sorted out as good or bad fish. Doesn't that sound better? That sounds easier. That sounds like something we could just kind of passively do. We wouldn't have to be active in interpreting the parables or reapplying the lessons that they come to show us as we peel back the layers. We wouldn't have to do all that. Why can't we just Why can't we just do that? Why can't Jesus just tell it to us plain? Turns out, Jesus tells us that we need the parables to train us as scribes for the kingdom. We need the parables to train us as scribes for the kingdom. It's exactly what Jesus is telling us we're supposed to be in the already here but yet still coming kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. We're supposed to be the scribes of the kingdom of heaven. We're supposed to be the scribes that hold on to the story. If we'll submit to the lessons of the parables, rather than wishing that we could just figure out what they mean down to the final base meaning of it, as if we can drill down far enough and understand exactly what Jesus was saying. Instead of looking at that, if we will submit ourselves to the lessons of the parables over and over and over again in our life, peeling back layers, learning new things about them, if we'll do that with the parables and with all of Scripture, we will be trained. We are being trained as scribes for the kingdom of heaven. And this is what Jesus tells us we're supposed to be. The scribes are the ones who keep the story. The scribes are the ones who keep the story. They're the ones who know the story so well that they can tell it in the way that each person they meet needs to hear it. They retell the story. They know the story. The scribes are the ones who let the story permeate their very being so that their lives themselves tell the story, so that their actions tell the story. Jesus says we're supposed to be trained as scribes for the kingdom of heaven. We're supposed to know the story, not figure out everything it has to say, but we're supposed to know the story so that we can be like the master of a household who brings out treasure old and new. We're to be scribes who bring out the old and the new for people. A lot of times we'll focus on just one or the other. We just need to tell them exactly what's in Scripture. It's right there for them to read. If they'll just figure it out for themselves, then they can just focus on this Scripture, this old, old story that's been here, and they'll know it. But we'll be ignoring the fact that that same person isn't seeing any new evidence of the gospel in us. We want to give them the old. But when it comes to us having to provide the new, they should just read it. We're supposed to be scribes for the kingdom of heaven, scribes who bring out the old, scribes who draw on Scripture and tradition. And that means we got to know it. We got to know our Scripture. We got to know the tradition of the church. We've got to know how these things have worked together through time to continue to carry the story forward. We've got to know them well. We've got to study in the parables. We've got to keep coming back to them. But we also have to be those scribes who not only bring out the old, but we bring out the new. We bring out what we have learned about who God is through reason and through our own experience with God. That's the new breaking forth into the world, the places where God has broken into our lives, where God has done something new in us, where God has showed us some new revelation in Scripture, where God has showed us some new grace in our life, where God has done something new for God's kingdom in the world. We've got to be those scribes that show people both the old and the new, who know both the old and the new, who are paying attention to the old story and to the new story of God that God keeps telling in the world and through us. We're supposed to be those scribes who proclaim the story of the good news in Jesus Christ to all the world using the old and the new that God has given us. And that begins with the parables, with submitting ourselves to the parables and to all of Scripture to learn that story, to learn to tell the old, old story in new ways using new mediums and new methods, like putting pictures on a screen. That method's even kind of old by modern standards. We learn to tell the old, old story in new ways using new mediums and new methods, we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit to find out what new transformative thing God is doing in us and in the world so that we can point to it and tell it out abroad and tell the world this is how this new thing connects with this old, old story. We are trained, you and I, as scribes for the kingdom, who bring out treasure that is old and new, to proclaim the gospel to our neighbors and to all the world. We're not scribes so that we can just tell each other the story. We're not scribes so that we can just lean into the old stories. We're not just scribes so that we can focus only and always on the new and disconnect it completely from the past. We are scribes who take the old, old story and bring it out in fresh and new ways to connect it to the new and transforming thing that God is doing even now. Even now, in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of social upheaval, in the midst of a world that just doesn't seem right. We are the scribes who have been given the story. Will we tell it in old and new ways? Will we tell it? Or will we let it collect dust? Never bring it out. Would you pray with me this day? Heavenly Almighty God, you give us a great story. You make your story our story. You show us your grace in our life. You intercede for us. You break in. You call to us. You yearn for us. You knock at the door. You keep trying to pull us deeper and deeper into your story so that our life can be lived in light of your grace, so that our life might spin your story forward into the world so that it might reach new people and new places. Train us, fit us to be scribes ready to tell the story, to bring out the treasure that you have given us, to show others the good news of the gospel. We ask these things in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. This time you're invited to join with me in your hearts if you're here, and out loud if you're at home, in the Apostles' Creed as we affirm our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world.
we prepare to give back to God out of all that God has so graciously given to us, I just want to remind you about our giving options here at Grace right now. You can give online at our website, gracecolumbia.org. There's a couple of different giving links from the homepage that'll take you to the giving page, one on the right-hand side of the page and one on the left-hand side as well. From the giving page, you can set up an account or you can give as a guest. You can set up a recurring gift or give one time. You can give to the General Operating Fund or to one of our other funds for ministry and mission, all from the online giving page. And so I'd encourage you to check that out and see if it's a giving option that will work for you. You can also give by mailing your offering to the church or dropping it by the church using the mailbox outside and in the parking lot. And so you're welcome to do any of those. For those worshiping in person today, we invite you to place your offering in the offering plates at the doors as you leave worship. Just want to celebrate today how many of you have already participated in our worship survey as we seek to understand where you are and how you're feeling about worship at Grace, as well as about just the way things are going with worship at Grace in light of the ongoing pandemic. We've had great results so far and a great participation in that survey. If you plan to participate, please do so today. I'm going to close the survey today, this evening, and so it will no longer be active at that point in time. So if you want to participate in the survey and haven't done so already, please check either our website or the Facebook page or your daily emails that have been coming if you receive those for the link to that survey so that you can participate with us and have your voice be heard as we consider how things are going with our return to in-person worship. With our return to in-person worship, just want to give thanks and praise to the team that's been helping us to put that process into the real world, to bring it to life, all those who have been coming and volunteering, as well as those who are coming to worship in person with us. We thank you for trusting us and for feeling like our process is ready for you to be able to come back. Please, if you plan to come and be a part of worship, just remember that we do ask that you call to register your attendance in advance. That way we can be sure that everything is in place and in order before you get here, and so that we have everyone that we need to be here and be present to make worship as safe as it possibly can be. So having prepared our hearts and lives to give back to God, let us pray. Faithful and everlasting God, we will tell the world your story of grace. We will tell about the wonderful things you have done for us in Jesus Christ. We glory in your holy name, rejoicing and seeking strength in your presence. You keep your covenants and promises to us no matter what we do or how we sin. You never waver. Help us to keep our covenants to you this day and every day. Let our tithes and offerings be a sign and reaffirmation of our promises to support your mission through your church, through our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness, that in everything you may be glorified. All praise and honor is yours, Almighty God. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
We now worship through the singing and hearing of How Firm a Foundation.
Saints of the Lord,
Our mission at Grace is to know Jesus and to make him known to others. This day, as we move towards the benediction, I just want to take a minute to remind you that we do have our Zoom happening at 10 o'clock. And it's 10 a.m. every Sunday. We do a Zoom fellowship. We love to have any and all who want to participate to come and join us. If you need the links to that Zoom fellowship, they are in the daily emails that we've been sending out. And if you haven't been receiving those, you can email me at pastor@gracecolumbia.org to come and to participate with your church family, to see one another, to hear one another, to have an opportunity to gather together, such as it is, to greet one another. And so this day, as we prepare to exit worship and to leave to receive our benediction, I want to encourage you to do that, to be a part of that, and to be a part of that fellowship this day. Now receive this benediction. Go into the world ready to take out the treasure that God has given you, the treasure of the gospel that God wants you to share, the treasure of the gospel that's been written into your life, the treasure of the good news that God has planted in you, the old story and the new ways that it is showing itself in your life. Show others, tell others, invite others. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Shalom to you now. Shalom, my friends. May God's full mercies bless you, my friends. In all your Christ be your shalom.